Good morning. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Now, if you didn't know, here at Every Nation in Tallahassee, we have a lot of traditions. And one of the oldest traditions that I've been a part of is that every Thanksgiving during the week, we have a Sunday, which is today. And traditionally, historically, throughout all of time, this is one of the least attended Sunday services of the entire year. So, Pastor Ron blesses me if I behave really well all year, if I preach good, if I do what I'm supposed to do, if I'm a good employee, if I take care of our students. He allows me and blesses me with the opportunity to preach after Thanksgiving. Praise God. And I'm excited to do it. So this is my third year doing it, and hopefully I'll be able to do it next year and the year after and many years to come. So you guys are part of tradition. This is meaningful. This is historical this morning. So you're welcome, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. No. Anyway, hope you had a great great Thanksgiving. And today we're going to talk about a topic that, not controversial, no pressure, real easy topic: miracles, signs, and wonders. And I want to draw your attention to where this lesson is in the chapter. So the chapter that we're going through is about evangelism and boldness. Now, why is miracles, signs, and wonders? Why are we going to talk about the supernatural, the outworking, the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in this chapter about evangelism and boldness? And there's a relationship here. And part of the goal of this sermon is for us to understand the relationship between evangelism, the Great Commission, boldness, preaching the gospel, going on mission, and signs and wonders. In fact, I believe that at the end of the service, you'll realize you really can't have one without the other. You see, signs, miracles, and wonders is not just for church services or for healing or prophetic conferences where people go and it's just a bunch of Christians just patting each other on the back, getting the 67th prophecy they've gotten, right? And they do nothing about it. They just want another prophecy or another experience or another worship set or another whatever, right? Signs, miracles, and wonders are strategic ways that God shows his power on earth. But it's for a purpose. And it's not just to entertain Christians. It's not just to validate us. Okay? Yeah. So, let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Please use me. Holy Spirit, we honor you. Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, it's all about you. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you do give us the ability to enter into your mission and see miracles, signs, and wonders. In the name of Jesus, amen. God wants to do miracles, signs, and wonders, not just to you, but through you. God wants to do miracles, signs, and wonders, not just to you, but through you. For the first part of my life, I went to church with an expectation that God, I need you to do miracles, signs, wonders to me. Lord, I have this sickness. Lord, I have this problem. Lord, I want this to happen in my life. Lord, I need a career. Lord, I need a wife. Lord, I want to be happy. Lord, this, what are you going to do for me? And it's not till I realize that God does not just want to do miracles, signs, and wonders to me. He wants to do them through me. And that the goal is not miracles, signs, and wonders. It's not the goal of a Christian life. Right? And there's some questions about this. And maybe some of you are thinking, you know what? I could really use a miracle or sign or wonder in my life right now. I'm not going to lie. I woke up today with a toothache. Feels terrible. Feels really bad. And I'm literally driving to church and I'm like, God, I'm about to preach on miracles, signs, and wonders, and I would really love one right now, just like right here in my face, right? But it shows that still in my heart, there's this, God, I want it done to me. I don't want it done through me. And we need to change. So what if we've never seen a miracle? What if you've heard a miracle? What if you hear these old pastors and preachers talk about back in the 70s or back in the 80s or overseas or over in Africa, over in Asia, or over in Europe, these miracles happen, but you've never seen one, right? What if you've prayed earnestly for a miracle, but it did not happen? What if you had a sick grandmother or grandfather or loved one? Or what if you were in tremendous amounts of pain, either emotional or physical, and you asked God, please heal me, or please heal someone, and it didn't happen? This is a tricky subject. This is a tricky topic, but I hope the Lord would redeem it this morning. So many times in our lives, we have chances for God to do miracles in our life, but sometimes they don't happen. And I'm telling you today, that's not a formula. It's not a formula. There's no, oh, you're not holy enough to have miracles. You're not righteous enough. If you just prayed more, if you just read your Bible more, if you just did that sin less, you'd see more miracles, signs, and wonders. That's not what this is about. It all ties into, are you doing what God has called you to do, which is the Great Commission? And we're going to look at that in Scripture. Now, what if you don't believe in miracles and signs and wonders? What if you're a cessationist? That's okay. There's a great Scripture for you. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, if you can, everything is possible for one who believes. So if you don't believe, don't worry. You're not going to see any miracles. Don't worry about it. If you don't believe in healing, you're probably never going to see one. So don't worry about it. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he says, earnestly desire the gifts. And so I've approached the Bible, I want to approach the Bible with earnestly seeking everything that God has for us and has for his church. And I think that's what we should all, the approach we should all take. Let's go over some ground rules. So a couple things about miracles. So first off, miracles, signs, and wonders are, they're supernatural happenings that the Holy Spirit, that God does on earth, that are not normal. Mm-hmm. That's a miracle. A miracle is something that science can't explain, that we can't do, we can't create or recreate. It's something that God just does. So God does miracles, but not all the time when we want it to happen. This took me a long time. I remember before I turned 22, I probably had gone up to people and prayed for about 30 miracles. I like go up to people on crutches, and something in me just I knew that there's something here, that I want miracles. I want to see miracles. I want to see it in church. I want to see people get healed. I want to see people come to Jesus. And I'd pray for people and nothing would happen. Or I'd pray for myself and nothing would happen. Right? And miracles, they don't happen all the time, but they do happen. There's not a formula, like I said. The Holy Spirit is he who actively does miracles, signs, and wonders. So if we don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, good luck. Right? You can't talk to somebody who's got a lot of money and say, I don't want anything to do with you, but I want all your money. I want your spending power. Good luck with that. It's about relationship. So a lot of it is we have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Miracles, signs, and wonders are not a badge of honor, righteousness, or holiness. So whether you have just dozens of miracles flowing through you in your ministry, and everyone you pray for gets healed, and every situation you pray for, God answers your prayer, that doesn't mean you're necessarily holy or even right standing before God. Some of the most crazy miracles I've been a part of, and you're going to hear a bunch, but some of the craziest ones I've been a part of, I literally was struggling with a sin the day before, and that afternoon or next day, God used me to do a miracle. And I was sitting there like, God, don't you know what I just did? He's like, yeah, Ben, it's never been about your holiness or your righteousness. I just needed somebody to pray for that person, and you were there. And you were dumb enough to step out in faith and do it, right? Good. And while certain people can have different giftings in the Holy Spirit, different giftings, anyone can do a miracle as long as you're willing to partner with the Holy Spirit. As long as you say, God, I want you to do miracles, signs, and wonders, not just to me, but through me. And that's the attitude we need to have. All right, let's go to Acts 14. And there's no overhead today, or there's no PowerPoint. So please use a Bible in the seat back in front of you, or use your phone. But we're going to be in Acts 14, 1 through 10. And we're going to be here for a while. So get comfortable. It's a great scripture. We're going to talk about it. But before we do, as you're turning there, I want to share the first miracle I've ever experienced. And so I'd heard preachers for years just talk to me about, okay, we were over in, you know, up in California or over in Peru or over in wherever, in South Africa, Zimbabwe, and these miracles. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, or we cast out these demons, or oh my gosh, this is insane. Like, but I'd never really seen one. At this point, remember, I'd prayed for a ton of people because something in my heart knew that God could heal and he wanted to heal, but I wasn't seeing it. And I remember the first time I ever prayed for someone and they got healed instantly, it was insane. I was in Houston. I was finally really getting right with the Lord, really living for him. And I was being discipled and I was discipling others. And I was discipling one of my groomsmen, who eventually would be my groomsmen, is Tim. And we were taking him through the one-to-one. And then a guy came to our small group, weird dude, okay? So this guy walks in, just strange. He walks in, he's like 20 years old with a briefcase. Weird, just like a black leather briefcase. And we're like, okay. And you know, like when there's small group questions, you ask like, how was your week? And he like goes into this whole diatribe about like politics or whatever. You're like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, just a weird guy, okay? So me and Tim are like, this guy needs Jesus, right? He needs help. So small group goes okay, and he leaves, but he leaves his briefcase. And we're like, what is in the briefcase, right? And is he going to blow up the house? Like, what's going on, right? Like, so anyway, I don't know if you know, but I'm kind of a bold kind of dude. I'm kind of nosy. So no one wants to look in the briefcase. I'm like, I'm looking in the briefcase. So I whip it open, I look, it's just like documents or whatever. It's just, it's weird. It's just, he didn't even need it, honestly. It was like, there's like snacks and it was just, there was nothing important. But anyway, so we reach out to him and say, hey, let's meet up. And Tim, you come with me. We got your briefcase, but let's go through the one-to-one. And this is one of my first times ever taking anyone through the one-to-one, which is our discipleship app. It really lays Christian foundations. It's very evangelistic. So I take him, we go, and we take him through the one-to-one. We go through salvation, which is the first lesson. So this guy, he's crying. He ends up giving his heart to Jesus, just radically saved. And me and Tim are like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Then he's crying, and he tells us about his back and his story. He says he used to be in the military, and this big like artillery piece fell on his back. And he was actually out of the military at 20 years old with a disability because he had this unbelievable pain in his back, and he had like 3 surgeries or 1,000 surgeries. I don't know. He had a ton of surgeries, and his back was hurting. And I felt something on the inside of me, faith rise up and say, pray for him. I want to heal his back. And so what did I say? I said, God bless you, brother. I'll be praying for you. No, I said, hey. I said, God wants to heal your back. Tim, let's pray for him. So I put my hand on his back. I said, where does it hurt? I started praying for him, and I felt warmth immediately go in his back. And he's like, what's happening? And I prayed a really simple prayer. I used to think for healings you had to do like this. Oh, Lord, if thou art willing and able, we have faith in thine divine will and sovereignty. Healest thou now. Anyway, I just said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command your back to be healed. That's pretty much it. And he stood up like this. He stood up, started bending over. He's like, my back is on fire. He's like, I can't. I'm healed. And we're like, Tim and I are like, really? What? You know, my faith was here, but my expectations were like, because I'd prayed for so many people and no one had ever gotten healed. And he finally got healed. And I realized the Holy Spirit, as I was driving back, the Holy Spirit was saying, Ben, the reason I healed him is because you were doing the Great Commission. Good. You were doing what I've called you to do. You didn't just want a miracle to validate you. You actually wanted to extend my kingdom. You were actually being bold and evangelizing and discipling. You were in the mission, right? And it blew my mind. Acts 14:1. at Iconium, which is a city in modern-day Turkey, Paul and Barnabas went as usual. Everybody say as usual. Okay, you may have heard it said as per usual, which means usually, all the time, consistently. Okay, so Paul and Barnabas, as usual, meaning normally, consistently, went into the Jewish synagogue. There, they spoke so effectively. Everybody say, so effectively.
So effectively.
That a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. Okay, so Paul and Barnabas have made a habit. They are consistently going where people are not saved. Some of us, this is just work every day, right? Some of us, this is just the gym, but they're consistently going and they're speaking so effectively that people are believing. Uh-huh. Now, let me ask you this. When was the last time you went and shared the gospel? Don't answer. When was the last time you shared your testimony? When was the last time you invited someone to church? But not only that, when was the last time you did those things so effectively that it actually worked? Some of us, myself included, I've tried to cross off the evangelism box and invite someone to church, but it wasn't effective. It was like, hey, you know, if you got nothing to do, come to church. Or yeah, Jesus changed my life. Or yeah, hey, you know, God's real and I believe it. I can't explain it. It's just real. It's not effective. I've had to learn. I've had to be trained how to do it effectively. And I'm actually trying to do it even more effectively. And as generations change and every class graduates through high school and through college, I have to change my tactics and strategies to be more effective. And when I moved to Tallahassee, I had to change my tactics to be effective. When was the last time you effectively shared the gospel, effectively preached, effectively led a small group? If your small group hasn't grown in 3 years, are you doing it effectively? It's not about going through the motions. There is a practicality. Are you growing? Are you changing? Are you being effective for Jesus? Or are you just being for Jesus? Are you being effective for Jesus? So they did it usually, as per usual, consistently, and effectively. That's where we need to get. Obviously, no one in here is Paul and Barnabas, and we'll probably never get there. But that's okay. We can still do it usually and effectively. Verse 2. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. This is very interesting. So Jews, during that time, could not even mingle or hang out with Gentiles. But when Paul and Barnabas came, they were preaching the gospel so effectively that people were getting saved. They said, you know what? We're going to throw away our Jewish customs and we're going to unite with the Gentiles just to get at the Christians, just to poison people's minds against the Christians. Wow. Do you know sometimes when you do, as per usual, preach the gospel, as per usual, share your testimony, as per usual, invite people to church, as per usual, lead or go to a small group, as per usual, and you do it effectively, not everyone is going to be like, wow, that's awesome. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You're actually going to get a lot of rejection.
You are.
I remember when I was, you know, in high school, when I really understood evangelism, I was like, God can use me to change the world? I don't have to sit on the bench. I don't know about y'all. I hate sitting on the bench. If I'm on a team, I hate sitting on the bench. Thankfully, if it was a contact sport, normally I wasn't on the bench. But when I played basketball at a high level, I was always on the bench. And they would bring me in to like rebound or foul their really tall guy. Right? If they had a 7-foot guy, I would be the guy that would just foul him. Just give up 5 fouls, get in his head, break his rhythm, and then I'm off. Right? Maybe shoot a mid-range jump shot if I'm lucky, okay? But I hate being on the bench. And so I realized that I can be part of the Great Commission. I can do something on this world that has eternal value. I can help change people's lives. I can help bring people to Jesus, right? And it was unbelievable. It was amazing. But I remember very quickly trying to share the gospel, not very effectively, and people would reject me. Or even sometimes I thought I did a good job and they would refuse to believe, right? So this mission of the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, but the Great Commission that we must go and make disciples, doesn't just steamroll all opposition. Sometimes we get rejected and refused. So, what did Paul and Barnabas do? Verse 3. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there. People were rejecting them, refusing them. Coalitions were forming against them that would never form in any other circumstance. And you know what they said? We're going to spend a lot of time here. When's the last time you've spent a lot of time, a considerable amount of time, in a place that God's called you, being consistent and speaking effectively the gospel? When we get opposition, sometimes I know my first inclination is to fold, is to walk away. Mm-hmm. If I get rejected on campus when I'm on FSU or FAMU with a group of people, if I get rejected, the first thing I want to do is I want to go to a different group of people. Mm-hmm. You know, the drama club doesn't like me. Maybe the business majors will. Maybe the athletes will. Maybe Glee Club will accept me. Maybe the circus will accept me. Right? But they had opposition. People were refusing to believe. And they said, you know what? We're going to set up shop right here. And what do? Speaking boldly for the Lord. Now, a lot of us are good at speaking boldly for ourselves. I want Taco Bell now. But speaking boldly for the Lord. What if your church invite didn't look like, hey, I'm part of this, you know, church, it's pretty cool, you should come check it out, you know, Sunday at 11. What if it was, I tell you what, Jesus changed my life. I used to struggle with addictions. I used to struggle with anxiety, with depression. But when Jesus transformed my life, everything changed. And now I'm a part of a community of believers, and we genuinely love each other. You got to come see what God is doing Sunday morning at 11. Yep. Do you see the difference? Yep. Have you ever invited someone to church like that? I don't think I have either. But anyway, I'm going to start. God's working on me too, guys. Goals. We got it. We can do it. Okay, speaking boldly for the Lord. I have done that before.
Yes.
Who confirmed, this is it. Who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders.
Yes.
You will not see, besides maybe some Old Testament miracles that probably aren't going to be reproduced today, but when you see the apostles, when you see people filled with the Holy Spirit doing miracles, signs, and wonders, it is always in the face of opposition, and it is always to advance the kingdom of God
right.
With boldly preaching the gospel.
Right.
Every time, point blank. So if you don't want to evangelize, don't expect miracles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. God does heal. God does do things. God is constantly doing miracles and transforming me every day to be more like him. And salvation is just the greatest miracle of all time. And there's so many blessings I can't even count that God's doing in the spirit realm or in my soul that I don't even know about. But I'm saying if you want to see signs, miracles, and wonders, got to preach the gospel boldly, consistently, in the face of opposition.
Yes.
You see, nutrition, let's talk about nutrition. We have a pretty athletic church here. You guys remember Michael Phelps, the swimmer?
Yes.
Okay. He would swim for 4 to 5 hours a day. And he was about 6'5", just shredded. And he would have to eat like 10,000 calories a day. So like pounds of pasta. He used to have like 4 full sugar Monster energy drinks. Just terrible. But anyway, he used to eat like all this candy and all this meat and everything. And he would stay shredded. Why? Because he was working out so hard. Right? I cannot eat 10,000 calories unless we're in the pool 5 hours a day.
Right?
Unless we're working really hard. So the Lord doesn't want to give you the nitric oxide of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're going to sit on your couch and watch TV, because you'll get fat. The Holy Spirit is not to make us fat and comfortable. The Holy Spirit's when we're lean and we need nutrition and we're at the end of ourselves and we're at the end of our comfort zone and we say, God, you've got to come through. I'm going to preach the gospel, but if you don't come through, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
Right? That's when the Holy Spirit kicks in. That's where there's miracles, signs, and wonders.
Mm-hmm.
A month ago, I was on Florida State University. Go Noles. I was on FSU, and we were doing Marketplace Wednesday, and this guy walks by our table in crutches, okay? I stop him, we talk to him, he hurt his leg, I think playing intramural soccer or ultimate frisbee or football, but anyway, he hurt his leg, his knee. He was on crutches, it was all wrapped up, and something inside me said, Ben, pray for him, I'm going to heal him right now. Oh boy. So I said, hey man, what's your name? Hey, okay, hey, come over here, let me pray for you. He said, okay. So he sat on the bench, and I put my hand on him, and I prayed really simple. I've learned you just have to pray simply. Because if the Lord tells you to pray for someone, he's going to heal them.
Right.
Right? So I prayed. I said, Lord, please heal so-and-so in the name of Jesus. I pray that there be no more pain, no more swelling, no more inflammation. Amen. I said, how's it feel? He goes, it feels better. He's like, there's still pain, but it feels better. I said, let me pray again. I said the same thing. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command all pain to leave, and I pray that you would heal him by your Holy Spirit. He goes, oh my gosh, it's gone. It's gone. He stands up. He's like, it's gone. He's like, okay, when's your meeting? What are you guys about? What is your club? Like, when is college night? What is that? Where's your church?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Are you a student? No, I'm not. Yeah, it was amazing. But it was a miracle, a sign, and a wonder that was evangelistic to show him that God is real, that you can believe in him, and that you need to come. You need to see what God is doing. That's the way God uses miracles, signs, and wonders. All right, verse 4. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles, Paul and Barnabas. Verse 5, there was a plot afoot, I love that, among both Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. So, Paul and Barnabas are literally sharing the gospel, healing people, helping people. You know what the opposition wants to do? They're helping too many people. Let's kill them. If you read the Gospels, like in Matthew, you see when Jesus raised Lazarus to the death, that was actually when the Pharisees really started trying to kill Jesus.
Uh-huh.
He literally brought someone back from the dead, and he was healing people, and they're like, you know what? We got to kill him. We're going to kill him. So they decide, okay, we're going to kill these guys. We're going to kill them. Verse 6. But they, which is Paul and Barnabas, found out about it, and they fled to the Lycaonian city of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country. So Paul and Barnabas, I guess, were led by the Holy Spirit and common sense. Our time here is up.
Yeah.
They're going to kill us. And so they went 18 miles from Iconium to Lystra, and they traveled, and they left. Okay. And this is kind of a side point. Now, there are some times where there's opposition. We're meant to stand firm, right? That's like your family, probably. That's your work. You know, that's probably going on campus. That's your teammates. That's your friends. That people, God wants you to stand firm. But there are times when there's opposition that the Lord does not want you to stay. He actually wants you to leave, okay? If you've been preaching to your, you know, clubbing buddies for 6 months, and they're not changing, you probably need to leave, right? If people are trying to kill you, you probably should go at some point, right? But there are times where the Holy Spirit leads you, but this is the powerful part. Verse 7, where they continued to preach the gospel. So they said, okay, in Iconium, what we're doing is going to get us killed. We're going to go 18 miles and do the same thing, the exact same thing. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to do it boldly and consistently and effectively. Okay. My senior year, football-wise. It was the second year of my master's at the University of Houston. I played for Coach Tom Herman. It was my only year playing for him, and he taught me a valuable lesson that I'll never forget. So we were 10-0 at this point in the season. 10-0. We were nationally ranked. We'd beat three ranked teams. We were doing awesome. And we go into the University of Connecticut in what they call a trap game. So our Heisman candidate quarterback got hurt. Me and our starting left tackle were hurt. Three other offensive linemen were hurt. So we basically had a second string O-line. We had a backup quarterback. It was like 30 degrees out there. It was raining and kind of hailing, and it was just ugly, and it was awful. Then our future NFL middle linebacker, who's won two Super Bowl champions, he gets a targeting call in the first quarter. He's out of the game. So we just play awful, and we lose the game. And UConn, they were maybe 2-8. They were terrible. They were trash. And so we lose, and we're all the players are in the locker room after the game just like so sad and just like, what's going to happen? And we're like, Coach Herman is going to tear us apart. He is going to lay into us because he was not a very nice dude. He's kind of a control freak. And I'll never forget. He walks into the locker room. He looks at us. He says, well, we lost the game. He said, the blueprint to success has not changed. Follow the plan and we will win. We're not changing anything. And I was, what? He didn't yell at us. He didn't scream at us. He said, we're not changing. He said, the plan that we have to win a conference championship and to go to a big bowl game and win that has not changed. He said, we just got to follow the plan. And I remember learning that good leadership has a plan that they've created or God's given them, and they stick to it, and they don't change based on circumstances. They keep doing what they're supposed to do. And Coach Herman, he taught me that's a great lesson. And that's what Paul and Barnabas did. They said, we lost one in Iconium. We're in Lystra. The plan has not changed. Okay? You've lost a loved one. I'm really sorry. The plan has not changed. You didn't get the promotion at work. The plan has not changed. You prayed for that miracle. It didn't happen. The plan has not changed. Preach the gospel boldly, effectively, and consistently. You didn't get the career you wanted. You didn't get the husband or wife you wanted. You didn't get that. You're struggling with anxiety. You're struggling with depression. You're struggling with whatever. You didn't get what you wanted for Christmas. The plan has not changed. The plan will not change. There's a great commission that we must do. And it's amazing if we do. That's what Paul and Barnabas, they figured it out. Verse 8, in Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. So the Lord brings them to Lystra, and it's almost like he sets up this situation for his power. And we'll see. And verse 9, he listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, stand up on your feet. And at that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Another miracle. So what happened? Paul and Barnabas, they left Iconium. Now they're in Lystra, 18 miles away, and they don't change the strategy. They keep preaching the gospel. They keep doing one-to-ones. They keep doing discipleship. They keep doing what God's called them to do. They keep being faithful. And God brings this situation that only he can handle. It's outside of their comfort zone. It's outside of what they can do. A God has to do a miracle. And God speaks to Paul and gives Paul the courage to say, I can pray for you, and you can be healed. And the man, he gets healed. This reminds me, 2 weeks ago, I'm not joking, these are all true stories. 2 weeks ago, I'm doing the one-to-one with Isaac Pierre. He's one of our students. He's not here today. And you'll see him one day. He's a fantastic musician. So you'll see him on stage for a long time, probably. But anyway, he's a great guy. He's a Haitian dude, goes to FSU. And we're doing the one-to-one, and we're talking about miracles. And he says, Ben, I grew up in a Haitian church, a Haitian Baptist church, but I've never actually seen a miracle. I've always wanted to see one, but I've never seen one. And I said, well, Isaac, you're going to see one very soon. I said, a lot of miracles happen at ENC. right? And we have literally dozens of stories. I mean, Garrett can tell you stories. We just pray for people. They get healed. It's weird. It's awesome. I said, don't worry, Isaac. You're going to see one. Literally that day, we are playing basketball, which we do every week, every Friday. Garrett and I, small group, we play basketball. And we use it to ball out of control. But we also use it to evangelize and meet new people. And so there's this guy we've been evangelizing to. We've been inviting him to college night. He came to college night, but we saw him. His name's Trovex. Hey, Trovex, how you doing? He's like, you know, I'm not doing super good. I said, what's going on? He said, I hurt my foot. He said, I was playing intramural sports again, and I hurt my toe. So I can't play basketball with you guys. I said, okay, cool. That familiar voice came in the back of my head and says, pray for him. God wants to heal him. And so I grabbed Isaac. I said, Isaac, you're going to see a miracle today.
Good.
I said, you're not only going to see one, you're going to be part of one. So me and Isaac, we went up to Trovic, said, hey, can we pray for your foot? He said, yes. Yes, you can. So I said, Isaac, lay your hands on him and pray a simple prayer. Command him to be healed in Jesus' name. So Isaac says, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be healed. And Trovex, he's hilarious, he's Jamaican. He took off his shoe and literally was going like this and just goes. Walks out of the gym, comes back like 5 minutes later, just like jumping around like this. Like he's like, no way, no way. And I'm not even going to try to do a Jamaican accent. But he was fired up. He was so fired up. And he was like this man. He was jumping around. He's like, it's real. And then all of our guys were like, yeah, Jesus is real. Isaac was like, that's what happens, you know. Never seen a miracle. Like, yeah, that's what happens. And then Nelson was like, that's what happens with Jesus, man. And then Rolvins was in there too. And it was awesome. But God healed him. God healed him. And he's getting connected in. And he's coming to college night where we preach the gospel consistently, boldly, and we're working on our effectiveness. So we're trying our best. And we invite people to small group where we preach the gospel boldly, effectively, consistency. And I hope to meet more people playing basketball. And we're consistent with that. And we invite them and we preach the gospel. And we get in discipleship relationships. And we're doing the great commissions. And people, great commission. And we see people getting healed and miracles and signs and wonders. And I could probably tell you about 30 to 40 miracles that we've seen at ENC. It's insane. God is doing something. Not because we're holy or special or mature or have unlocked the secret code. And honestly, I don't even pray that much. And I really should pray a lot more, being truth being told. But God still uses me to do miracles.
Yes.
Not because I'm awesome, because God's awesome.
Amen.
And because I don't want miracles, signs, and wonders to me. I want them to go through me to others. Because I want people to come to Jesus.
Yes.
One time I was traveling from Houston to Orlando on a plane. And this is when I was single, before I met Ashley. And I prayed a lot more when I was single. You know, it's funny. Anyway, I was just in prayer, fasting. Lord, help me. Make me the man you want me to be. But anyway, I was traveling on a plane, and I remember I just had my headphones in, and I was just spending time with the Lord. I was just listening and being silent and just letting the Holy Spirit minister to me. And I remember I heard on the overhead, we're descending into Orlando. And so I took my headphones out, and I saw a guy over here, big old bald dude, maybe like 300 pounds, 400 pounds, big bald dude, and he was grabbing his head like this, like he was in a lot of pain. And that little voice said, Ben, I want you to pray for him. I said, okay, God. So I tapped him and said, hey, man, what's your name? Like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, just whenever I'm on a plane, my head really hurts. I said, can I pray for you? He said, yes, you can. So I prayed for him, laid my hands on him. I prayed for him, and he was like, what? It's gone. It's gone. I feel great. And it was amazing. And that was so many years ago. I didn't transition it into a good gospel presentation or even invite him to church. I just said something like, hey, Jesus loves you, and then just like put my headphones back in. But but anyway, God healed him. Uh-huh. God healed him.
Yep.
And so don't tell me miracles aren't real.
Right.
No one can tell me miracles aren't real,
yeah.
That God doesn't do signs and wonders. Mm-hmm. He does. And most of them don't happen to me. They happen through me. There's a lot of times where I feel under the weather and I pray for other people that are sick and they get healed and I don't. And I don't know why, right? Are there some people, like even with Trovex, my knee was really hurting that day. And he got healed and my knee was still hurting. And that's okay, because it's not about me. It's about God's mission, what God wants to do. All right. So, let's get practical here. So this is not a story about, wow, Ben, you've really done a lot for God. No, I've done nothing. Literally, the Lord brought this Nigerian pastor into my life who was Presbyterian, who taught me how to operate in the Holy Spirit. It's so funny. Okay, so if you don't know, the Presbyterian Church here in America, in Europe, doesn't always believe in like the infilling of the Holy Spirit and miracles and signs and wonders. But in Africa, where there's actually more Presbyterians than anywhere else in the world, it's like miracles are everywhere. It's so funny. So the Lord brought a Presbyterian man from Africa to teach me in Houston how to believe, operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and believe for signs, miracles, and wonders. It's insane. So let's get real practical. Now there's four questions, and if you can answer these four questions, not just in your mind, but with your lifestyle, mm-hmm. You will see miracles, signs, and wonders.
Good.
Not a formula, but you will. Okay, number one, whose glory are you after?
That's right.
Whose glory are you after? Do you know that most people would never know if I've seen a miracle this week or not? I don't tell anybody. I am today, but I normally don't tell people. Because it's not about me. I don't need you guys to think that, wow, Ben's had this great healing ministry happening. I'm not trying to monetize it. I'm not trying to get any glory. Whose glory are you after?
Good.
Are you struggling with some secret sin and you just want miracles to start happening so that you can feel better about yourself? Or do you want people to come to know Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Whose glory are you after?
Good.
Whose glory are you after? Number two. If you can answer this question, whose plan are you following? If you're following your plan, why would God do signs and miracles and wonders in your life? If God said, hey, Ben, I want you to do this. I've got grace for you. I got a plan for you. I got a mission for you. And I got miracle signs and wonders for you to do. But I'm like, no, Lord, I'm going to do this. But God, where are the miracles?
Yeah.
Why is my life not blessed? Whose plan are you following?
Right.
Are you under lordship? I think miracles, signs, and wonders really love lordship.
Mm-hmm.
They accompany lordship.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the Lord of your life? I had a great conversation this week with one of my buddies. Because he loves the Lord. He wants to serve God. And I said, are you serving God with some strings attached? God, I will serve you unless this is your plan for my life.
Mm-hmm.
Or God, I'll serve you unless you ask me to do this. God, I'll serve you as long as you let me do this. Lord, I'll serve you as long as you let me have this profession. Lord, I'll serve you as long as you let me marry this person. Lord, I'll serve you as long as you let me get this degree. Lord, I'll serve you as long as my family is happy with me. Lord, I'll serve you as long as you don't call me to go on campus and preach the gospel. Lord, I'll serve you unless it's waking up at 5 a.m. and reading my Bible and praying. Lord, I'll serve you unless it's inviting the person at Taco Bell or Cracker Barrel or wherever you go eat to church. Lord, I'll serve you as long as people like me and don't reject me. Lord, I'll serve you as long as it's comfortable. Lord, I'll serve you as long as certain people don't think I'm funny or weird or too extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Whose plan are you following? Number three, whose gospel are you believing?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe the gospel? We all know the gospel, in part anyway. But do you believe the gospel? Do you really believe that humanity, myself, you, are completely sinful and wicked, and there's nothing you can do to save yourself, but the love and graciousness and power of God was manifested in His Son Jesus, who died for us, that gave us eternal life, and now we're born again, living in His love and mercy? Do you believe that? Or is that just mental assent? Because if you believed that, that would lead to number four. Whose gospel are you preaching? Are you preaching your own version of the gospel? Are you preaching a therapeutic self-help version?
Good.
Are you preaching a non-offensive version? Because the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, always divides. Always divides. The gospel either pushes people to God or away from God. When you hear the gospel, you cannot remain the same. Mm-hmm. When I hear the gospel, I hear, I need more Jesus in my life. I need more transformation. I need more of Him. Whose gospel have you been preaching?
Yes.
Have you been preaching a seeker-sensitive, consumer-based, self-help version of the gospel? Have you been articulating boldly the biblical gospel that you must be born again?
Yes.
On campus, one of the major ideological issues that we face is people have this idea that I was born this way. Mm-hmm. And I say, you know what? That's great. I was born again.
Yes.
And so must you. It doesn't matter how you're born. You must be born again.
Uh-huh.
Are you preaching the gospel? Whose gospel are you preaching? And if you don't know how to, that's great. Learn. Right? If I don't know how to pay my taxes, do I just sit at the accountant's office every Sunday morning? No, I learn. I hire somebody. I figure it out. That's what we have to do. Whose gospel are you preaching? And I can't finish this sermon without talking about really the greatest miracle of all, which is salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if you never see a foot grow out, a back get healed, a grandmother, a grandfather get healed of cancer, even if you never see that happen, that's okay. The greatest miracle is that God does give us the ability to be born again, to be transformed. And that's the ultimate miracle that we should care about with others, is that God could use us to lead other people into that miracle. And guys, girls, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to be a bold church.
Yes.
There's going to be opposition,
mm-hmm.
but we've got to be consistent. We've got to be bold, and we've got to be effective.
Yes.
Because if we're not, we're just playing church. We're playing religion, and we may have the Holy Spirit. We may have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but we have no access to the power that God wants us to walk in. And there's nothing like living in the grace of Jesus, doing the things that God wants you to do, because things happen that shouldn't happen, and it's amazing, and it's wonderful. So, this morning, I hope you haven't heard, come on up, a try harder message where, wow, if I just evangelized more, I'd get miracles. If I just, you know, did more small groups, more discipleship, miracles, signs, and wonders, right? I hope this is about a heart change, that this is about, I want to be used by God, but I really want more of God. And it really, honestly, bottles down to lordship. Whose plan are you following? Whose gospel are you believing? And whose gospel are you preaching? And today, I don't want to leave without praying for you, because I do believe there are people who need signs and miracles and wonders, and I want to pray for you. like Brother James. I think God's going to heal your headache today. But there are people who don't need a miracle, a sign and wonder for them. They need to say, God, I want to be used to do miracles and signs and wonders. And we've heard all month about boldness. We've heard all month about evangelism. And if you haven't evangelized or been bold since hearing that, please be careful, because you may be falling into religion. We must apply the Word of God.
Yes.
We can't hear it. Okay, so there's two groups of people. The first group I'm going to pray for are those who just need to get in the game and say, I don't want miracles to happen to me. I want miracles to happen through me.
Yes.
The second group is you may really need a miracle in your life. And you believing for God, I want to pray for you too. Okay, so let's close our eyes. So if you're convicted today, like I am, you're saying, God, I don't want to just hear about it. I don't want to just go to church every Sunday. I don't want to just go to small group. I want to actually be used by you. I want to see miracles, signs, and wonders so people will enter into eternal life and will get to experience the love that I do. If that's you, I just want you to, when everyone else's eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I want you to just look at me real quick. Okay, thank you. And it's okay. I remember when this moment really hit me. And I want to let you know right now, it's not about your holiness. It's not about your righteousness. It's not about you. It's about what God wants to do in the people around you. And are you really willing to let Jesus be the Lord of your life and say, God, I will do whatever it takes. And I want you, and I want to be used by you. So I'm just going to pray for you guys. Lord, you see these people. I pray that you would bless them, that you'd help them. And Lord, that you would help them be catalyzed, be catalytic, be catapulted into your will for their life. Lord, that you would start to do miracles, signs, and wonders in their lives, that you would give them the power to do the Great Commission, to tell their friends, to share the gospel. Lord, I pray that you would even help them this week learn how to share the gospel, to start reading and researching and listening and watching different things that would help them and equip them, that they would lean into their disciples and lean into their small groups, and they would get more connected, and that they would have a faith. And Lord, I pray that you would break any fear off their life in the name of Jesus. Any fear of rejection or fear of losing control or fear of not being happy, I would pray you'd break that fear and that you would help them be used by you. Lord, give them a boldness in the name of Jesus. All right, if there's anyone who's really wanting a miracle and believing for a miracle, who's really believing for a healing, either emotional or physical or mental, and you've been just believing God, you say, God, I haven't lost faith, I believe, and I know you can heal. I just want you to look up at me. Okay, good. I want to pray for you guys too. So where you're sitting, Lord, you see every single situation. You see every single circumstance. And Lord, you heal. You heal. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command that you would heal. Your Holy Spirit would heal these situations in the name of Jesus, and that you would be sovereign, and that you would be glorified, and that we would follow your plan. But Lord, I pray that this would be a church that does miracles, and that even in small groups or in church service next week, there would be testimonies of how you have healed each situation. And Lord, I pray that we would not come to you only to heal us, but that you would use us to heal others, that we would become a healing church.